8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Okay, right now we're gonna do we're gonna do something very special. 2020 election update with President Trump. Yesterday in Orlando, Florida, Roy Fields, who's our special guest today, he was inside watching what was going on. I was outside watching what was the response.
So you guys covering both sides.
Yeah, I was outside watching the spirit realm activities from what was being said on the inside. So go ahead and go, Roy. You can share your part first.
Well, I had been invited by Paula White herself, and I haven't told you this, Kat, but I've been invited to the White House.
Exciting.
I'm very excited, but Paula White gave us some special seating, and what we did is we got to go out in the beginning around 1 o'clock and help people make sure they're voting and registering in Florida, and we just kind of, my son and my wife and I, we kind of put on these shirts and just went around and started handing out voter forms for people registered in the state of Florida. So we got to get in, and we got special seats and stuff because it was a suite and all this, but anyway, while we were in there, when Paula White came to the podium to speak, we thought she was going to open up in a nice prayer. Well, she didn't open up in a nice prayer.
No, she didn't.
She opened up in a very powerful devil beating his head in prayer.
Yes, she
and
did.
I'm not kidding you. Here's how she opened up the thing. She said, tonight, I would just want to ask everybody, can we just stand to our feet and can we please hold each other's hands? I know you got sweaty palms, but please let's hold each other's hands. She goes, and let's begin to pray because our president said that we don't worship government, we worship God.
That's
and
right.
And the place went ballistic.
Yes, I could hear them outside. I could hear the yells and the, you know, I could hear them, the sound, the decibels of the of 20,000 people just joining together. But not that, the angels that were loosed because of that prayer that Paula declared. I didn't say that was a battle. That was a warrior's prayer, a standing in the gap for our president, for our nation, and loosing everything against hell she could send. The warring angels that came from that place because of her prayer. Not just that, the agreement of the body is so powerful, and it increased in every way. And here I am standing between the Jumbotron, which I couldn't see but could hear, and here is the Amway Center. So it was like double waves of hearing this, and the host began to pour out, some from heaven, some literally from inside the Amway Center, to do destruction of the enemy, not just like in battle with swords, but over people that were, they were blocking their thoughts, even bombarding the ones who were there picketing and protesting. The protesters were being bombarded by the host of heaven because the demonic was literally driving them. I could see him and infecting them and inflaming them to scream out against what was being inside. It didn't matter because the host of heaven were pulling down strongholds over these people because of the prayer that Paula prayed. So I had the pleasure of seeing activities of heaven, even against hell, around these people, and yet people outside who couldn't get in because it was far too many people. A lot wonderful that it happened, but people were declaring along with what was being inside, said inside. And so it was, you're right, it was very powerful.
And it was awesome to hear President Trump get up behind the podium, and he said, you know, folks, and he had a moment there where you could, you know how you hear a politician speak and you realize he's reading from a prompter? Well, Trump normally reads from the prompter and then goes off prompter.
Yes.
And speaks from his heart.
Yes, he does.
And one of the comments he spoke from going off prompter onto his heart was, he said, folks, I just want to let you know something. I have not forgotten why I'm in the White House. I have not forgotten why you sent me here. And I'm telling you right now, I am not going to let you guys down. And I just thought, you know, I've heard presidents say something to that effect, but it was way too scripted.
Yes.
Whereas when he said that, you could really feel the heart of what was being said. And, you know, that's what's coming back to Kat.
Yes.
Is that when I was a boy, like around 5 or 6 or even 8, I remember that sense of patriotism in a country of America where I enjoyed going to the next door neighbor where they had their doors unlocked and you could leave your cars unlocked and you'd go over to the neighbor and borrow some sugar or some get some tea or sit out in the back porch and talk. And with us, we had some neighbors that knew the Lord, so we talked about the Lord. That seems to be coming back. Mm-hmm. That seems to be coming back where even the millennials are going, tell me more about this. You know, like, tell me more about what you guys had. And I just see a returning of respect. I see a returning of honor. And I see, like, even as we were coming to the event, I was watching loads of, and this isn't about Trump, it just has to do with the supporters, are all shaking the hands of police officers and saying thank you for your service. And I mean, it was in the droves that they were doing this.
You're right. And I also saw the same thing, even while the meeting, the event was going on, because where I positioned myself was right next to a group of five officers, and how they weren't even handling themselves, being very polite, saying, I'm sorry, there's no more seats available, but you can stay out here and listen if you want to. The sound might be better over here. So they were directing them, even trying to help them to get a comfortable position or maybe have a better position to hear from. And these people were thanking them. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for being genuine. I saw that over and over and over again, even from young people were saying that. So you're right. I really do believe that that is coming back to our country. And I also, of course, being an age older than you, I was raised in the 50s when that was all you had. You didn't have, when the 60s hit, later 60s especially, that began to turn in the other direction. But that was from mistrust. And I would have to say a lot of the stuff that happens is from fear. People experience fear around them or mistrust of people. I also see that because what comes from the head, even of a country, comes down over that country. And because our president, who's there now, does carry that. He respects the military,
yep,
the police officers, the firemen, all the different forces in the military. He so honors and respects them. I really believe that's going to come back to our nation.
So let me ask you a question. If you remember the 60s, and I'm being really straight up with you on this, did it appear to the Christians of that era that when everything went south and rebellious and make love, not war, and peace and all this stuff, did the Christians feel like it was coming to the end of the world kind of thing? Like, oh, everybody's turning and there's...
I would have to say a majority of them, especially maybe the older Christians.
Uh-huh.
I was raised in an environment that I knew God's time wasn't over, and we actually had a coffee house where we'd rescue those kids off the street and minister to them. We loved on them, told them about Jesus. We were part of the Jesus People movement in the late 60s. And for us, we didn't see it as the end, but some of the elderly people literally thought, this is so bad, if it gets any worse, we're just leaving. This is the end of the world. Jesus,
we're being
is
raptured
back
out. It's
Jesus
done
is coming any moment. They would
right
want to lock their doors and stuff that they never had to do before. Drugs were everywhere. They didn't have any way to control them, didn't even know what they were. Totally, I was around when that happened, but I was on the side of the light. But I saw all of it. So I'm not ignorant of the ways of the enemy. I'm not ignorant of the ways of man getting trapped and used by the enemy. I'm very well aware. I'm innocent of doing that, but I totally was never ignorant. I knew the ways of God. I knew how to operate. And this is the thing. For the first time, even though there were many believers in my time, for the first time we all came together from different denominations, like the Methodist Church gave us an old Methodist Church. The Baptist helped send supplies for our coffee house we had. We saw the leaders coming together, the young people. This was our thing. We would have maybe somebody to drop by and check on us, but this was in our heart. We laid down all of our differences. We came together, like those people did in the rally last night, in agreement for what was good, what was right. And our heart was to help rescue these people. And so I have hope, even now, having been through several moves of God myself, God is in a place right now where he wants people to know him. And so I have to say, living in the era, in the age, in the 50s, in the 60s, I was a teenager, I was born in the 50s, early 50s, all the way up to 1970 when I graduated, I saw two different lives being lived in the earth. I saw the first type, which was everybody says, let's go back to that. We can't go back. We have to go forward and take that, which we have from them, and make it greater for people in this earth. So I saw both sides, living both types of life, with the light, filled with the light. Every door was open. People would borrow. They talked to their neighbors. And then come to the place where everybody was afraid. They didn't know what was going on. Like the world was falling apart. Even the vice squads and the police did not know how to handle this epidemic of the drugs and stuff coming into our world that we lived in. And then begin to see some hope begin to come. And in the 80s, people got more and more, still kind of filled with themselves, but opened up a little bit more. And then in the 90s, there was a lot of things going on. God just showing up in different places.
Revival meetings everywhere. Yeah.
Revival meetings were everywhere.
National revivals through the 90s.
Moves of God, healing moves of God, the Holy Spirit being poured out. And yet, even now, we're almost went through another phase of that type of thing. Of crimes, you know,
you hear people say, you know, we want to see another move of God, and I honestly believe in my heart, and I think the Lord's spoken to me, there is going to be another outpouring. I don't know if it's going to be like Lakeland or Brownsville. I think it'll be completely different, as everybody wants it to be. I don't care. I just know this, it's not over yet. And according to you, you told me that you believe the Lord spoke to you and showed you that Trump is going to be elected in 2020.
Yes.
And then you said that you saw Pence, the vice president, becoming president for the next 8 years after that.
That's right. 24.
You saw that.
24 years altogether, because whoever Pence picks as his vice president will also be president for 8 years after Pence's terms. And God said at the end of the 24 years, it will be so shockingly, stunningly different for a season, because we know eventually when the end does come, and I think that's the hardest thing to show people, that God's got this all planned out himself. We have to agree and work with it. But I can tell you what is coming, Roy, is a habitation. It's not a revival. It's not even a move of God. It is a habitation of God, and that habitation can never be controlled by man, because that habitation will be in us.
Wow. That's powerful. I love it.
It's going to be amazing. I'm excited about it, but I'm glad we took a few minutes to stop and talk, because I've been involved in every election. I have voted in every election since I was 18 years old. So many different leaders in this country, some good, some halfway good, some not very good at all, what they produce for the country. But we have someone who wants to be great for what God wants and is serious and sincere about it. He sincerely cares about this country. He sincerely cares about the people in this country. I've never heard a single person stand on the inauguration day and say, I am here to give your country back to you.
Wow.
And that was his statement on Inauguration Day. Trump said that. I'm here. I serve you. It's for the people, by the people. We don't run anything. We listen to what you want.
And see, that sounds to me in heavenly language and heavenly terms. That sounds like when it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
That's right.
I hear the Father saying, the earth is mine, but I've given it to you.
That's right.
It really belongs to you. It doesn't belong to these elites. It belongs to you, my kids.
Yes, yeah. It does.
So, not these fallen angels that set themselves up as gods.
As gods. And they literally did set themselves up as gods. They're bound in chains now, but they themselves twisted humanity so badly. Of course, humanity agreed with them. And they are the ones who introduced the dark arts. The dark arts called magic, black magic. All that stuff was introduced by those angels who set themselves up as gods. And but, you know, they're in chains. The Bible says that they've been held in chains to be judged by us. How about that? It says that in the Word.
Wow.
We will judge those angels because their sin was against us. So we don't even understand if we don't study that word, meditate on that word, we miss a lot.
And if people could see the veil ripped in two and pulled back, and you saw how these angels manipulated.
That's right.
They manipulated us who were innocent.
You're right.
And came upon us and made us feel the way they feel.
That's right.
That's his one thing. And you know, that's another thing coming back to the election with Trump is he's giving pride back to the American that just want to live peaceably.
That's right.
And see the kingdom of heaven happen on earth. They want peace. Who doesn't
right.
want peace, for goodness sake?
They want a life, right? They want a life. They have a family. They want to live and make it great for their families because they love them.
And help others that are in need and truly help them.
You're right. And there's a good time to be pride. To have the pride of what you've accomplished, that you care, that you honor, you know, that it's not, then Satan takes that pride and twists it so that he wants pride to be about you and only you, because let me tell you, he doesn't love anybody but himself, and he carries pride in himself, and he fell because of his pridefulness. He fell because of his own beauty, and he fell because he filled himself with violence. So all those things definitely belong to the enemy.
Now,
the enemy is never going to win, not even in the end. He only ends up with lakeside property, and that's going to burn.
And I want to share something I saw the other day. I told you about it. I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, but it was surprisingly, it was from CNN, but it was good. And this shows you the
prayer's working.
The seriousness of Trump's commitment to America. On the day he was sworn in 2016, Inauguration Day, as soon as he was sworn in, when he got to the Oval Office, he signed the readmittance form for becoming the president in 2020. He signed that form that he was going to run again in 2020 and submitted it in.
On the day he was elected, he was that serious about remaining here to finish what he purposed to do for this
country. He's been preparing since 2016. He's been preparing
for the
2020 election.
Yeah, they actually did give a good report about that. Even in Orlando's newspaper this morning, I looked at part of it. I rarely read it. But on the front page, which was a good picture of him, they were saying he was so well prepared for rerunning again in 2020. He didn't waste his time bashing, trying to fight the liberals or the Democrats. He spent his time doing what he promised and preparing to run again in 2020. So he has put all this effort from himself into America because he cares, and of course God did choose him.
Yep.
No matter what anybody says, and in this time God is wanting his way. Jesus said, pray that my people be willing in the day of my power. This is definitely the day of his power. So I want to encourage everyone to be willing to do what Christ asks of you, to be a part of what he's doing in the earth, not being filled with fear, not wanting to escape, but rule and reign with him, make a difference, bring light into this world.
And I know there are a lot of, I just feel like I need to say this, but there are a lot of youth that are turned 18 and will get to vote in the 2020 election.
My daughter just turned 18.
So for those that are like uncertain of what to do, being influenced by the wrong people, what would you guys say to encourage them? You know, to vote.
Look, I would say, you know what? I got a friend of mine. I'm going to drop another name here, but I have a really good friend of mine I've known since 2012. His name is Andrew Womack.
Yes.
And Andrew Womack just did a live broadcast with another friend of mine named Lance Wallnau, who you know.
Yes, we know him too.
And Andrew just said, in front of all of his millions of audience, he just said, if you vote Democrat, you are literally now voting for murder, and you're absolutely opposing God.
Yep,
that's right.
And I thought to myself, wow, this is it. It's time for us to lift up our voice and stop being quiet. From what I understand, Trump is annihilating that Johnson Amendment.
Yes.
I know it's been. I know it's being appealed in court at the moment, so there's a little holdup, but Roe versus Wade is trying to be reversed, and it's like, there's a new judge going to be put in there. Ginsburg, where's she at? You know, what's going on with her? Where is she? So I would say the person, you know, 18 year old or 19 or just turning and not knowing what to do, judge the fruit, man.
Yep.
Judge the fruit. Look at the rallies.
That's right.
How many, and this is not to set Republican against Democrat. First of all, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I am a child of the Most High God.
That's right.
And I will side with anybody that sides on the side of God, sides on the side of Jesus.
That's
so look at the rallies, look at the fruit, judge the fruits, what the Bible says. I don't see Republicans doing massive protests and setting cars on fire and throwing things up against people's business storefronts. Yeah, I just don't see that.
No, I don't see it either.
I don't see knockdown, drag-out fights, not even between us. I always see it from the other side, hitting somebody upside the head that's trying to stand up for the right to life. And
yeah.
So, for me, the governing thing is, if you vote Democrat, you're actually agreeing to killing the unborn baby up to the 9th month.
Yep,
that's right. And God clearly says what he thinks about all of that, okay? These are precious lives that he sent to this earth. And he says what happens if you mess with any of them. It'd be better than a millstone.
That's right.
A millstone was not like a 10-pound stone, okay? That's more like a 200-pound stone. It'd be better than the millstone be tied around your neck and you're thrown into the sea if you mess with those babies. So I can tell you what he thinks about that. And even the Bible says choose life. So this is what I say to people. Who's voting for life? Who is standing for life? It clearly says you agree with the darkness. If you choose death, you're agreeing with that. Regardless of what you say you are, if you really believe that Jesus is your Lord and you stand for the light and what is right, there's no way you should ever be voting for the death of children. So I also say the same thing. You cannot think that you're helping to further the kingdom of God and help others by bringing light if you say it's okay to kill actually anybody, really, but especially the unborn, the innocent. So I say the same thing. Choose life. Vote for those who stand for life and live it, not just talk about it, but they actually live that. And so I really believe that the voting is going to increase on the behalf of what's right and for Trump because of the stand he has made. And the believers, the body of Christ, is finally standing up and saying to choose life. And I pray for those who have the blinders removed from their eyes and from their hearts that it is not okay to totally speak against God and what he says and you choose the opposite. Choose life and do what's right and bring justice and liberty and righteousness. We stand for righteousness. Well, what is right is, I believe, what God says so.
Amen.
I'm excited about what's coming.
Yep.
Judge the fruit and you'll find out what the root is.
You're right. And I always tell people, even speaking of the fruit, I tell people go, well, this person's so powerful how they speak, but I know they're sinning. I'm talking about like anyone who stands in the podium. They speak.
Sure.
They speak. Look at me. I'm so powerful. I've got all these gifts and they operate. And if God didn't like what I was doing, he'd take them away. And I will also give a scripture about that. It says, you will know them by their fruit. He didn't say you'd know them by their gifts. Their gifts will work because he gave them to them. They can use them for light or darkness, but you know them by their fruit. And if their fruit is rotten, don't vote for them.
That's right.
That's so awesome.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for giving us a second podcast. That was awesome.
The little added nugget at the end.
Yay.
So I know you got cupcakes you need to go enjoy.
Yeah,
so.
Please and eat one for me.
I do.
But thank
well,
you
Well, thank
again.
You again, guys.
Yep. We'll see you later.
God bless. Appreciate it.
God bless.
Bye, Roy.
Bye, Roy.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.